Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm so glad nobody's questioning or like threatening to fight me. Like, I mean, I would get
you've
into
got
it.
You've
got
cardio on everybody.
I don't think so.
Maybe not Sean.
I got a decent
maybe
amount of cardio, but I don't think I have the shot at cardio on everyone. But yeah, I mean, this is a nice group of guys that I feel like have a decent amount of strength all the mm-hmm. way across. I'm not trying to fight these fellas. Mm-hmm. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. What is it, Thursday?
It is Thursday.
Man, what a week it's been. All right, let's get going. You got John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. I don't remember if we said it a second time, but appreciation for what was a fantastic D&M Auto Leasing mm-hmm. crosstalk, because that was very fun.
That was crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto
I got
Leasing.
You, brother. I got you. And that'll come back around when we get to our question of the day later. But I want to start with what I think needs to be celebratory tones. Of course, a shout out to Payne and Pendergast also for having Nick Caserio on this morning. We'll revisit some of that audio. I thought that was always, it's always good when we get a chance to hear from the general manager, especially with those fine fellas. But I got to start with a notable thing that happened last night, which was the Rockets reach 50 wins, the first time they've done that since the 18-19 season. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, they break a five-year drought of getting to the playoffs. And it was a time, brother. It was mm-hmm. a time, as you guys well know. And I kind of wanted to, like, in appreciating the way... Yeah, I was like, that is an understatement. I understand, Sean.
I have to go down to the boss's office. I can't wait to listen to this segment later on.
Okay.
I'm very excited about
all right.
This.
Well, look at you overselling, like, what I'm... I hope I could deliver in that
Odyssey
way.
Odyssey Rewind.
Very good. That's always available to you on the Odyssey app. I want to revisit the way that we got back to the playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. how did the Rockets get back to the playoffs? Because if you'll remember, the last playoff berth that they had was 2020. That was bubble champ. That was mm-hmm. bubble mm-hmm. playoffs. That was... James Harden, Russell Westbrook. In fact, at that point, they had gotten to the point where Westbrook was your center.
Yeah.
Remember, like, mm-hmm. in that the February of that year of 2020, they were getting to the place where they were trying to, change the different dynamic and make it work with Westbrook. And so he was basically playing center. It was a weird, weird time.
Yeah.
You go to the bubble, and then you lose in the second round to the eventual champion Los Angeles Lakers 4-1, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the last time you were in the playoffs. Now from here, and of course you can always get involved with the program on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
713-572-4610. As always, it's a collaborative effort. Let us know the things that you recall from this period of the path and the way fighting your way back to the playoffs. So mm-hmm. I begin here, Lopez. You lose that, and then after four seasons as the head coach, Mike D'Antoni steps down,
mm-hmm.
right? Coming out of the bubble. Because no extension was reached the year prior, and the writing was on the wall. And then
it was talked about all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Steven Silas becomes the head coach mm-hmm. of this team. Right. So you start there. Like, what do you recall about that moment, that time period?
Well, okay. So Daryl Morey was a factor in here.
Yes. Daryl Morey stepped down for quote unquote personal reasons.
Yeah.
Tillman Fertitta had assured Morey that his job was safe 2 days after the playoff loss, mm-hmm. but still he steps down. Quote from Tillman Fertitta, he had always said, I'm not going to be here forever. At some point, I might want to go back to the East Coast, which you eventually did. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to happen. I knew this was that year, but Daryl's been here almost 15 years. I was surprised, but I remember the previous conversations. He reminded me that a few times. So now Daryl Morey, who in Daryl we trust, right? Like that was where you were. Now your organization has lost the coach and the rudder of the organization in Daryl Morey, but they felt good. They immediately just say, we're going to let EVP of basketball ops, Rafael Stone, take over. And there were some questions like, what is Rafael Stone? Like, what are his bona fides? And he gets to navigate you now through this time period.
All right, so here's what is really, really interesting to me about that time. And Rockets fans will remember it. Daryl Morey and really mostly Daryl Morey, they got too close to James Harden, too close to the team. They got kind of full of themselves. Like they were he was very smart. He had a lot of success, but he had never really gotten, very far in the postseason in terms of what was promised. I think he got too close.
They got far. He had done the musical chairs of all the partners for James Harden. You had the, Dwight Howard, you had the Chris Paul, you tried all sorts of different iterations, mm-hmm. and you got relatively close, obviously, going back to that Warriors Western Conference final.
That's the one. But in 15 years, I think they'd only gotten to that two conference finals and had never gotten to a championship.
Correct.
In 15 years. It was very unnerving that Daryl Morey was kind of running the show more than anybody else. And it was just like absolute time for him to move on. Like I'll use this word because we've heard it from the Texans. It was kind of a toxic environment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go into kind of the wasteland as some people are already getting involved on some of these places. I'll definitely make sure that I stop down as we follow this path.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Tad Brown was the president.
That's right.
Tad Brown and Daryl Morey kind of ran the whole show. And I like both these guys. I'm just telling you what was the case. They kind of thought they reinvented basketball. Tad Brown and Daryl Morey were the ones that said, no, we actually won that game.
Yes.
You know, that famous, I know the scoreboard said otherwise, but we actually won that game. That's what the vibe was. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, the Sloan Analytics Conference All-Star, Daryl Morey. Yes.
You lost the game. So it was very kind of toxic in there. And I don't think Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey and Tad Brown ever really got along. So it was, the writing was on the wall. It was toxic in there.
All right. Well, here we go into the mystic, in a way, to quote Van Morrison, because we're done with the Russell Westbrook experience. Clearly, you had to change your entire basketball philosophy in order to try and make it work, and ultimately you came up short. So Russell Westbrook, bye. Welcome in John Wall. You remember John Wall years?
Barely.
Yeah. You traded for John Wall and a 2023 first round pick, and then you start the season that year. And, I mean, James Harden, in the offseason, he had demanded trades, and he arrived late to training camp. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then he stumbles at the start of the season, and after a 3-6 start, he is traded to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And this is where Rafael Stone starts to make his imprint on the team. Obviously, after, James Harden forces your hand.
Yeah.
And this is one of the, we were talking about this yesterday. I don't think he'll ever be absolutely, held up as a legend of this team, even though he did some incredible things in his, eight seasons here. I don't think he won an MVP for Pete's sake, but I don't think he'll ever be held up as a legend, in large part because of the shenanigans that he pulled to get his way out. But the Rockets receive Victor Oladipo. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear that name more. Dante Exum, Rodions Kurucs, and then a glut of draft ammo, namely three Brooklyn first round picks and four Brooklyn swaps, right? And obviously this is where we start to see the value in the ways in which you're going to bet against Brooklyn and try and find your value to get yourself back, right? So that is a major point where you have James Harden coming in and, the fat suit, quote unquote, and him just not being in that right space. But this is where you're really into the space where you're like, all right, we're rebooting.
Yeah.
All right. The 2020-2021 season goes, and you are dead last in the West, 17-55. Remember, you are trying to do this as the core. Victor Oladipo, John Wall, Christian Wood. That was who you were looking at.
Christian Wood.
As your core in that instance, right? And then...
And John Wall wasn't playing really very much that year.
No, I think he got...
Didn't play at all the next year.
40 games in that season.
Yeah.
And then in January of 2021, I was trying to remember, do you recall how Kevin Porter Jr. makes his way onto this team? Because there was a point in time where he was foundational. I completely forgotten how he got there.
How did he get here?
Remember, he was a Cleveland Cavalier in that season. And in January, reportedly, he threw food around in the locker room upon discovering that his old locker had been given away to Taurean Prince, who had come in a trade, right? And he was, so you bring in Kevin Porter Jr. Soon thereafter for basically nothing, a protected second round pick. You got him for the low, and you were like, hey, we're going to take this low-cost flyer on a dude who has some talent, but has some anger.
Brother threw soup on somebody,
yeah,
man.
Did.
That's right. That's right.
Was it Damon Jones?
I don't know. See, you might be mixing two stories, because I was trying to see about this. Because I remember there was a story about J.R. Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's what that was.
Soup,
that's what that was.
Which is hilarious, yeah. And I think that was Damon Jones. But he threw food around in the locker room. So there you go. KPJ's on the team. Not a great season. We now head to the 2021 NBA draft, where number two overall, the Rockets select Jalen Green. This is where Jalen Green enters your life. You also trade two future first-round picks for the number 16 pick, where you select... Have you heard of a Turkish League MVP? His name was Alperen Şengün. You know anything about this
guy?
And
a young kid. And then absolutely.
Yeah, he was MVP at 18.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this is where you start to see the foundation being laid for this return to the playoffs. You get these two young guys, and it's like, oh, okay, these guys are talented.
Yeah, yeah.
Although Alperen Şengün, I don't think – Jalen Green was obviously – that one that felt like, okay, this is going to be the guy that you rest your laurels on going forward. Alperen Şengün was just kind of –
He played like a European player, an old school, not the current iteration, but an old school European player. Not as nasty as you want. More offensive-minded, et cetera.
All right, so you get those guys. Also, Usman Garuba with pick 23. Josh Christopher, 24, also selected. 2021-22 season. Mm-hmm. Rockets go 20-62, just shy of an expected 21-61. They had the worst defensive rating and worst offensive rating. Like, this was – or 19th best offensive rating. This was a low point. Remember on January 1st, 2022, right? So the first day of that, you know, calendar year, Christian Wood was benched and refused to check in with after Steven Silas looked to actually go to him in the second half. And in that same game, KPJ, I don't know if he had like violated team rules or whatever, but he had gotten sat down, and John Lucas talked to him pretty sternly.
They got into it.
Halftime, KPJ said, bump this, took his ball, and
I'm out.
In the middle of the game. He did not return to the bench in the second half. Mm-hmm. That was where you were as a team during that time period. And they both were suspended after the weekend on the Monday after that. All right, so that was the 21-22 season. So you get to the 22 draft. And this is where you select, with the third overall pick out of Auburn, Jabari Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. And remember, this felt like this was a late change, because Jabari Smith Jr. had been mocked a whole bunch to the Magic at number one.
Yeah.
And it was like draft day thereabouts, where all of a sudden it's like, actually,
that was Banchero.
Paolo Banchero was probably going to go one.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, OKC was in love with Chet Holmgren, and that brought Jabari Smith Jr. to you at number three.
Okay, so let's pause right here for a second. You talk about that was the low point. That was about as low as you can get, because the Steven Silas factor, you know, the no control, young players that you didn't really know what they, you know, all three of those guys had big question marks, especially Şengün and Jalen Green. And you're wondering, you know, about the makeup of this squad, you know, like the leadership of this squad.
Yes.
You know.
But you're bringing in talent. Jabari, number three. And then don't forget, that is the same draft in which at number 17, and he still wears it to this day, obviously, in reminder of it, Tari Eason is taken out of LSU. That is the first of the Brooklyn selections that you're making. So that is Brooklyn's pick that you used to get Tari Eason, one of the Terror Twins, as they were referred to earlier. Ty Washington was also selected in that draft, if you remember. And in that
That's
season,
a Rockets legend right
there.
There
you go.
Man. And everybody loves some Ty Washington.
How could you not? Everybody loves like a diminutive. I feel like in sports, there's two things that, like, especially American sports watchers love. We love a diminutive athlete, so we like a small guy, and we love a portly athlete.
And a white shooter.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Garrison Matthews, baby.
Shout out to 5'3s last night.
Yes. To Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which that was fun to see. We'll talk more about that. All right. So that year, so this is where I need a little bit of audio, because I believe I got this. December 31st of that year. I don't know why. The turn of the league year, or the turn of the calendar always pops up for the Rockets in this time period. December 31st, New Year's Eve. Eric Gordon was asked if he was seeing the improvement that he thought he'd see from this group. This was his response.
Are you seeing the improvement that you thought you would see when the season started?
There's no improvement.
There's no improvement. Like, veteran player Eric Gordon. And yeah. I know some people are like, yo, he's trying to get his way out of here. Mm-hmm. But veteran player Eric Gordon, who, I mean.
And who is not controversial.
No,
like
he
that,
is not.
By any stretch. Yeah.
Flatly.
Nah, that brother was tired.
Yeah.
There's no, I bet. Because it's like, you have all this young talent, and you're hoping that eventually you, and.
No improvement.
There's none. There's
and,
nothing.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, Rafael Stone was on very thin ground. At least from the outside looking in.
And
very thin ground.
I mean, by accounts, like, Tilma Fertitta got to a point where he wanted to pull the plug on this rebuild thing, man.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed the course, including this, February 6th of 2023, after a 20-point loss to Sacramento at home, Steven Silas gets up on the podium. And yes, there's probably a number of these.
This is my favorite right here.
This is your favorite right here?
We had fun with this in real time.
So good.
Here is Steven Silas decrying the effort of his team.
They're not giving the effort on the defensive end. They're not getting after it like they're supposed to. They're not getting into their man and fighting over and helping each other. They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
And then he's out of there, right? Like that. Again,
they're not getting the effort.
You were in a terrible place.
He's like playing make-believe. He's playing dress-up. And we talked about it then, Figgy. It's like, hey, you guys, I'm mad. You guys, this is not acceptable. It was so bad.
I felt bad for him, too, because he wasn't coming in there to coach a rebuilding team like that.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
He was there to coach Harden.
And then all of a sudden, Harden's out of here, and this is an entirely different team. So there you go. Like, you have that. Now, you did have a really good game in March. Jabari Smith Jr. hit a, you know, game-winning three.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you see, okay, there's some opportunities for some here. Steven Silas is fired April 8th of that year. Then you get a few weeks later, Ime Udoka hired.
Mm-hmm.
2023 draft, number 4 overall. Amen Thompson is drafted. Cam Whitmore's drafted, number 20. Then you get an improvement year. July 1st of that, the offseason, before you head in, Fred VanVleet comes in, and now you're dealing with something else. Rafael Stone's talking about the summer being important, that it's their time to spend, you know. And then July 8th, another week, Ty, Usman Garuba, Josh Christopher, KJ Martin all go out, bringing Dylan Brooks, and you get rid of KPJ in that season after, you know, he is accused of, like, choking his girlfriend. You're starting to turn the corner, and then you end up 41-41. You just miss out on the play-in last season, and now here you are after trading Victor Oladipo in a second rounder for Steven Adams late last season. You end up in this year where, you know, with you trade some of your Brooklyn picks, you bring in the Phoenix picks. Mm-hmm. Now you have that, and you select Reed Sheppard, number 3 overall. And with all of that, this season, all of these players that you've acquired, these young talented, and then with Ime building up this team. After having a 19-game improvement last year, you see an even bigger improvement, at least a 9-game improvement right now to a 50-win season, and you're going back to the playoffs.
And the reason this is so significant is I don't think people are truly appreciating 50 wins and at least a top 6 seed, maybe a top 2 seed so quickly, because just 2 years ago, man, this was a bleep show.
Yes.
I mean, it was the Browns. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You know, coach that couldn't coach defense, playing dress up. You know, players that were, you know, you didn't know what they were. General manager, maybe on the way out, or certainly no trust. And now look at them, 50 wins and counting, and they could be the number 2 seed.
Yeah, and they're sitting there. They've solidified their playoffs. And, yeah, you're right. They could be the number 2 seed. They got a 3-game lead on the 3 seed with just a few games left to go. They're back in action tomorrow against the Thunder. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Again, salute to the Rockets for reaching this accomplishment.
Yeah.
They set out to make the playoffs, and they've done that and more at this point. All right, coming up next, let's jump into a little bit of what happened with Payne and Pendergast earlier today. They talked to Nick Caserio, and he shed a little light on the offensive line project. Let's get into that next.
Figgy. Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And on Sports Radio 610, all day long, it's been it's always fun to chill with us, and especially when you get a day like today where Nick Cerio joins the program. Mm-hmm. Always good when he gets to sit down and talk to Sean and Seth, and they always get into some really interesting things, especially at a time like this where you're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and you get a little bit of an insight into what free agency has looked like and what the draft might look like. And in talking to the fellas, Nick Cerio, I think he shed a little bit of light on this offensive line project, of course, in large part because the guys asked great questions. And this was Nick Cerio earlier today on with those fellas. I think it was 7:30 when he was on. And Sean asked him, what change were you looking for in the offensive line room? Obviously talking about kind of the moves that they made, mm-hmm. namely sending Laremy Tunsil out, and just kind of what was the objective there?
No, there's never anything specific. I think what you try to do is after each season, you kind of take a step back, make an evaluation. All right, what happened? Is there anything that we feel that we need to do moving forward? And there's going to be change. We've talked about this on this show. Your team's going to turn over X number of percent each year. So every situation, we kind of evaluate case by case. I don't think we went to the offseason and said, well, we're going to do A, B, C, and D. That's never really how it works. What you have to do is just kind of take inventory of where you are and try to take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves. So in the Laremy situation, that was something that, you know, we weren't certainly intent on doing or that we were motivated to do. I think when we just looked at the situation, we felt that it was the opportunity in front of us that made sense. Washington had a need, and then we consummated the trade. And, you know, ultimately we felt like that was the best decision for the Texans at that particular time. So I think you always know going to the offseason, you're going to add players. There are going to be some players that go on and off the team. There are going to be some players that go on and off the roster. We made, I would say, changes offensively from Coach Kaley to Coach Popovich, so from the coordinator to the offensive line. So that's kind of step one. There's going to be personnel changes that take place. We've seen a number of changes that have taken place across the entire team, not just the offensive line. So I think the big thing that we've talked about and DeMeco and I are focused on is just trying to carry as much competition on the team as possible. And in the end, it's going to come down to how well we execute on Sunday. So we're a long way from that. It's April 3rd. Where we end up beginning of September, whatever the first game is, nobody really knows. But, you know, we felt the way we're positioned right now, we have a number of players on the offensive line with varying levels of experience that have played a lot of football, including some of the players that are returning on our team. Obviously, the players that we brought on externally have played a lot of football. How it all transpires and how it all sorts itself out, TBD. So, but, you know, we feel like we're in a decent spot right now. And I think the big thing is just being able to go out there and get the five best guys on the field, you know, bring eight to the game, but get the five best guys that are out there. And hopefully we can go out there and just play good football and execute on a consistent basis. So there were times as a team, I would say, not just specific to the offensive line, as a team, did a number of really good things last year. There were other areas that, you know, we probably could have done a little bit better. So that's where, you know, it's a year-to-year league, and your team's going to change, and we're no different than any other team.
All right, so you ever listen to somebody talking on an interview and you actually talk out loud yourself? Because when I was listening to the first part of this, I went, what? literally said, what?
And talking about the opportunity.
He's not talking about Austin Deculus. He's talking about Laramie Tunsil.
Right.
That's what got me. Like, I get his concept. And I'm not, look.
There's no I in team.
No, okay, no, but no, look. Let me be very, very clear. I understand the reason that they moved on from Laramie Tunsil. But it wasn't like, hey, we saw an opportunity. No. How many times have we heard Nick Caserio say, we want to get the best players we can to be Houston Texans?
Mm-hmm.
Laramie Tunsil, for all the other stuff that was a factor in them moving on for him, might have been the best player on the team, depending on how you feel about a couple of other guys.
Sure.
Right? But he was in the top three, top four.
Definitely the highest paid.
Definitely the highest paid. So when he said, yeah, we saw an opportunity, the Commanders needed a tackle, and we made the decision. I'm like, what? If he's talking about Austin Deculus, maybe I misheard. If he's talking about Austin Deculus, I'm in.
No, I can confirm it was talking about Laramie Tunsil.
Do you feel like the opportunity was getting that third and second round pick?
I know.
For Laramie, again, how many times have we heard, look, it's a little bit of criticism of his answer. Yes, I'm going to tell you that up front. I get why they did it. So I don't want to separate that. But the reason they did it is because what he said later. He said, we want to get the best five guys. We want to get the best five guys with the new coordinator,
but there's
the new
some
offensive line coach.
But again, like, I don't think that you absolutely needed to make this move at this particular moment if you're just going best five guys, right?
Like, exactly.
We know cap considerations came into this, yeah. And when he talks about opportunity, that's probably a large part of it, is an opportunity to move on from that particular cap hit from that player. But then going back to best five guys, Laramie Tunsil, at least pass blocking wise, is there. So, like, you would have to acknowledge that there's something else within that.
That's the point.
Right? Like,
that's
that there's something else within that.
We had an opportunity.
Right. That does not fully speak to the idea of, well, whoever initiated, which honestly, we didn't get to the bottom of there. I know Seth said that he wished he would have followed up with that, which would have been really cool, but only God knows if Nick would have given you that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say when you say we had an opportunity, it does make me seem like the Commanders maybe initiated, like, hey, mm-hmm. is this something that we could get? And if that's the case, imagine Nick Caserio again, like, all right, well, they're thinking about trading for this guy. Mm-hmm. All right, well, yeah, we can maybe get commensurate value from that. That does not seem like the way that you go about a player that you feel is
when the window's open.
Yes, when the window is open, that you feel like is instrumental to what you're
again,
doing.
All due respect, Austin Deculus, or Nick Broeker or something. This was Laramie Tunsil. So, clearly he's being, very tactful about the reasons, and I get that, but it did make me go, that's weird.
But I did find it interesting that at a certain point he kind of turns to, like, after kind of laying that out when it comes to the actual Laramie Tunsil, but the idea and the question was kind of what is the change that you're looking for? And he started talking about Nick Kelly as the offensive line, as the coordinator, and Cole Popovich as the offensive line coach. And it very much leans back to the notion that they are putting a lot of this on the scheme and the ability to get for your coordinator and your coaching to get execution out of that position. And it seems like, he obviously talks about competition. We've heard all of that conversation. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like he is making it very explicit. They just believe that this was not, like, this was a Bobby Slowick and Chris Strasser issue, and that they feel like if your technique is better, they can get a different assortment of five guys to get this to work without having the incredibly high-level play of Laramie Tunsil. And that's quite a gamble to make.
To say the least. And again, I think I said it yesterday, if they do, get five guys that all have question marks to some degree to play at a very high level, build a freaking statue, because that would be incredible. Technique matters that much, for them. If it works, build a statue, because that would be incredible.
Yeah.
These five guys. Now, they're going to add, obviously, but these five guys.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that when you look at these five guys, I think, or in the possibility of adding, a young talented player in the draft or what have you, it's still like there's a lot of, I envision it almost like a parlay, right? Like, does this bet hit? Does this bet hit? There's a lot of bets. There's a lot of bets, including first time offensive coordinator and and Cole Popovich stepping up into that space as offensive line coach. Although, like, there's a level of, comfortability that they have having worked together in the past. It does then, but highlight that they really are leaning fully into that as the notion, as we are just going to be able to coach it up better.
Clearly. And I mean, he said it. D'Amico said it.
I'm still having I'm having trouble getting to the to the place that that absolutely works for.
Yeah.
All right, but there was a lot more. There was a lot more. He spent an hour talking to Payne and Pendergast. We'll circle back around to more of that here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, where Sean Bashani, last night on Area 45, quite a take saying that he could take Seth when it comes to a boxing match. Mm-hmm. And to that end, our question of the day, get involved, 713-572-4610. What athlete or what person in sports?
Yeah.
Could you or would you scrap with? We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetua.
All right, the question of the day, what person in sports could you or would you scrap with? 713-572-4610, inspired by Bajani having quite a take last night. Before we get there, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
From the 713, do you really think the O-line could get worse? We were just talking about the offensive line project and Nick Caserio trying, shedding a little bit of light into kind of their thought process, at least specifically speaking on it, because we had not heard them specifically speak on it. We kind of pontificate. And I'll throw the question to you. Do you think the offensive line can get worse? Because for me, I'm like, I don't know that it can get worse, but that doesn't inherently mean that it's better, and then also by what degree, because that can't be the bar, is just any level better than what you had last year and you're perfectly fine.
I think if we're being fair, I don't think this is going to happen, but I think if we're being fair, it can get worse.
It can absolutely get worse. Because I know it was bad last season, but at least Laremy Tunsil kind of did his part on the pass protection.
You didn't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
Other than the false starts.
Yeah. Like, his issue was the false starts and he got beat a couple times, but he could easily, be worse on that left tackle spot.
We got to be honest here. It can get worse.
If they're not cohesive in the pass protection, because then you don't have at least you had the one guy that you could feel like he's going to do what he's supposed to do.
Now, we're optimistic. We're hopeful, but there's a lot of unknowns. Coordinator and offensive line coach to begin with, you know?
Yeah, and I guess, we don't have enough of a... Well, I guess you have a little bit of background on Cole Popovich, at least in the ways in which his history, but it remains to be seen what he's going to do to kind of get these guys on the level. I think one of the tough things is, for me, I keep looking at the vets that you have, and I want to give them their credit where, okay, maybe they were not particularly great, but they weren't all atrocious. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't go and get, like, the worst guys. Now, you didn't go and get dudes that instill, at least in me personally, great confidence that you're definitely going to come. Like, all of them, we've talked about this. All of them come with some level of question of what level of player are you going to get? Because, you know, Cam Robinson on the left side for the left tackle, he has been really good, but he had the time in Minnesota last year. Lakin Tomlinson, that offensive line in Seattle, allowed a lot of pressure. Obviously, Geno Smith was dealing with a similar level of pressure as what we were talking about here with CJ, right? You know the issues that you have in some ways with at right tackle with Blake Fisher, with Titus Howard, if he's playing right tackle, what have you. Like, those things are still there, and you need to address all those. And then you took away what was at least very, very much in an ability to pass block Laremy Tunsil, and you're just hoping that mentality shifts, which is possible, but we don't know for certain.
Exactly.
And then hoping that that translates to actually getting better blocking. Like, I guess you're right. There is a possibility. I don't know. Probability is just the tough part. Like, what is the probable outcome that you get?
And we're just optimistic. We're hopeful.
I don't know. I don't know that you can set that for certain.
Yeah.
All right. Question of the day. What athlete could you or would you scrap with? This is Sean Bajani, co-host along with PC of Area 45. You catch them 7 to 11 right here on Sports Radio 610. And I'm so interested in what brought him to this place. Obviously, there's a little bit of a baby bull fight going on, promotion going on
maybe
in
that was
this
it.
Weekend.
Yeah.
But he decided to come out strong in saying that he could take on his Sports Radio 610 co-worker here.
I say this with all due respect. I would whoop Seth's ass. Let's go right now. Like, Sunday, boxing ring, baseball field, put the football player out there. Put the wannabe out there and let's go at
wannabe.
It. I would whoop Seth's ass, and I would not listen to him try to talk me out of it.
Well, That's a bold statement there, Sean.
I do love starting with all due respect.
There. Yes.
It's always very
fun. All due respect, get the most respect or disrespect.
I love it.
He started with all due respect and said, I will whoop his ass.
Now, that's the thing I can't get beyond that because I've been trying to find what the circumstances were. Obviously, he's talking about like boxing where, you know, there's the gentlemanly rules of boxing and then you can point him up and what have you. He doesn't have the reach. Mm-hmm. Nor does he have, I don't think he has the particular
he's strong,
chin,
but he doesn't have that strength.
That's comparable to former defensive tackle in the National Football League, Seth Payne.
Yeah.
I honestly was wondering if he was thinking like, hey, just all out scrap. Where I'm going to take I'm going to take advantage of your beaten and bruised body. I'm going to play unfair. And even then, I was like, I'm having a hard time getting here, dog.
Look, Sean is a terrific athlete. I mean, I know that. I've seen him, you know, in action. He's an athlete. He's put together well. He's tough. All that stuff. Seth would squish him like a grape. He would squish him like a grape. Absolutely. All due respect, of course.
And with all due respect, who would you scrap with? And I do. Wood is probably part of it.
Person in sports. So I can't say Amy Adams Strunk for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that'd be a bad look.
But
you
I would
can
be,
scrap with her if you want.
I'd be Hannah's corner man. If Hannah scrapped with her, I'd be.
He's doing the thing where I'm going to get my sister to fight you. I'm going to get my cousin to fight you.
I'd be her corner man. I'd give her all the little tips and the. Aaron Rodgers. For sure.
Good answer.
Aaron Rodgers.
Just hate his face.
And I would beat him, too. And I'm not trying to brag or anything. I think he's just all talk.
Are you for real?
Oh, yeah.
These people you hate that you get you feel like sports, you could scrap with? Okay.
You could.
That I you mean, hate.
Some people just want
to. I thought you just somebody you could just beat. Like him or not.
Well, there's that. I mean, however you want to answer it. However you want to answer it. But Aaron Rodgers, he's the guy like, hold me back. Hold me back.
The 1-2 factor matters here, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was trying to think about, like, at 6'10", who would I, and I don't know if there's a lot of guys I want. I know the ones that I definitely wouldn't, and I'm surprised that Sean went right to one of those and Seth, and then Clint is the other one. Because Clint strikes me as a man that in his past has gotten his jollies off of getting into fights.
I wouldn't mess with Clint.
Nah, he would slide you across the bar.
Yeah, no, Clint has experience, I'm guessing. Don't want to put your business out there. I'm guessing he has some experience. He's got that Baytown tough dude in him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been in a few scraps, and he's probably in the best shape of anybody here. Like strength,
I can see it.
You know, he does cardio. I would not mess. If I had to set the odds, it might be a pick'em between him and Seth.
So you're not going for any of those. You went with the owner of the Titans.
Yeah, but again, that's probably a bad look.
Fair. Okay. So what is the better look?
Aaron Rodgers. I want to say Jack Easterby, but I'd probably be arrested because I'd just like wail on that dude.
Oh, you wouldn't find the place to
let him. He's done. Get off him.
He got a little size to him, though, right?
He's a wussy.
okay.
Yeah, that would be ugly, and I'd probably get arrested.
In that instance, you would have some righteous indignation there, right?
Yes,
because of what that time period was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just talking about the Rockets, the dip that they've gone through in order to find themselves 50-plus wins on the other side. The dip that the Texans went through, fighting through those years? Yeah, no, yeah.
I'd be fighting for my city.
that's a whole different level.
Now, if you lose, you got to move out the city, man.
I would not.
Yeah, if you come out on top, you got to get out of here.
I would not lose.
I appreciate this one coming in from the 832. Justin Tucker.
Okay. Okay. Justin Tucker's a good
Is that because
one?
He's a kicker that you all... Because I'm like, in a similar vein, and I imagine if you're upset at Justin Tucker, you'd want to put Deshaun Watson on there, wouldn't you? But I just wonder how many people are like, oh, still in the athletic prime, not sure I want to actually take that fight.
Well, now, seeing them up close, it's kind of like, oh, he got some size.
Big dude. Yeah,
he's a big dude. How about our guy T-Mill? Mike Fiers.
Yeah, T-Mill is... and I respect it. I respect it because I think he understands the differences that happened there, but he's like, line it up.
He said he'd lure him in with cheese because he's a rat.
That's right. Nah, I mean, there's good reason to be upset there because, I mean, I don't know. I have to say this in the right way. Mm-hmm. I do think that there is a lot more kind of nefarious behavior that happens in all these sports as you try and toe the line. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Rockets were over the line in that, or Astros were over the line in that particular instance.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's a lot of nefarious behavior that happens, but you know, it's what you can prove, right? Mm-hmm. In a court of law, unless you get someone out here telling. And Mike Fiers is out here telling. So I could absolutely see how huge Astros fan Tyler Milner was like, why are you out here snitching, dog?
So I'm thinking, and this is, let me be clear, like, I don't want to fight anybody. I like everybody.
Yes.
No, nah, but you want to fight this.
If not, and this is no hate or anything. Like, I'm just looking for somebody, like, if somebody say, you got to fight some type of athlete, get in the ring with, because I'm short. Yeah. I ain't trying to fight no Nico Collins or nothing like that. I ain't trying. But
not go well.
The one person I think I could probably squabble with a little bit.
Yeah.
I could squabble with Tank Dell.
Okay.
I feel like I have a chance.
Okay. I see where this is coming from.
Yeah. We're around the same height.
Yeah.
I
don't mind that.
I'm a little heavier. Like, mm-hmm. not the good heavy either. Like, he worked out. But I weigh more than Tank Dell.
I thought we had put that instance behind you of him.
I made it clear.
Right. There's beef.
No.
I don't know if it's beef. But
no, it's not. No, I made it clear.
I know.
I'm good with everybody. I could probably squabble with Tank Dell a little bit. I don't know how long it'll last. But
you'd be in it.
Yeah. No, I won't be afraid of nothing like that. And then the other one, this would be hard for me to squabble with him, but Jose Altuve.
Okay.
Oh, just because of size?
Just size.
Yeah. You're just handicapping on.
You heard that saying, fight somebody your own size?
Yeah, you're going
I'm looking
class.
For people my own size.
In a way, riding with Vernon Maxwell, just because, like, I just remember how the Utah Jazz got in my way. I'm trying to decide, like, because I feel like I would want to fight Malone just as he's older, but I feel like that would go so poorly for me, even though he has gotten older. So I'm like, can I put Jerry Sloan on here? Like, can I find just like I'm whooping you, but
Jerry Sloan.
That's right. Actually, Jerry Sloan still
passed. Nope.
Ah, well, all right. So now I have to fight. Yes. So apologies on that. I guess I didn't really have beef with Jerry Sloan particularly. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to find a Utah connection that I felt like I could handle.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to circle back around. Yeah, Karl Malone. I despise that guy. I despise like what he stands
for. I wouldn't want to mess with the ring with Karl Malone. Yeah.
I know, but I feel like it's on the principle.
That's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10".
That guy comes from. He's got some background.
Yeah,
too.
It's the principle of the matter. It is the principle of the matter.
Well, if it's the principle of the matter, you know, Danny Ainge.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. But I don't feel the same level of anger. It's not the same want to.
Honestly, I think I could probably, and this guy's taller, don't get me wrong, but I could probably take Steven Silas.
Okay.
I feel like Steven Silas, you heard him.
Negotiate with you.
You heard him. They're not doing their jobs.
You guys, they're not playing defense, guys.
I could probably take him up, like, on some, take him by the leg, take him up and slam him. I could probably do something like that.
Referee Tony Brothers comes in. Bill O'Brien just off the D-hop trade alone, they said. Fair enough.
Bill O'Brien, I slap Bill O'Brien. I wouldn't even fight. I'd just give him a nice little
disrespect.
Little get off the block type of slap.
And then 281 asked, they asked which 6'10 host would win a boxing tournament. And I don't know. It feels like you're probably leaning in the guys who were former athletes. It's probably Clint. Or Seth.
Yes.
I feel like those are the places that no need to make this more difficult.
Man, boxing is so hard.
It's so hard, man.
Joe Kelly high on the fight list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
Joe
great
Kelly.
Point.
Yeah.
Sally says Nick Wright.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she's holding a grudge.
He was talking real reckless last year.
He probably gettable, too.
Oh, yeah, he's gettable.
He's gettable.
Oh, he would just try to talk you out of it.
And hey, from the 409, we got one of your female listeners here. Tell Hannah I will get Amy for her. All right.
Okay. There we go. I'll be your corner man.
There we go.
I'll be your corner man.
Right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to some football as we'll go around the NFL. The NFL's tweaked the definition of a hip drop tackle. Will that lead to more penalties actually being called as opposed to what we saw last year? We'll talk about that and more next.